we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. I'm Mukbil Yabaro in for Sunny Young. Today's show will be filled with football action. We'll have a former Nigerian footballer sharing his thoughts on the AFCON group stages. We'll also look back at a Sunny Side of Sports highlight from 2023 of Jude Bellingham and what he's meant to Real Madrid since his transfer. We'll also have some great boxing conversations that I had with my VOA colleague Sunday Shomari about big names like Tyson Fury, Alexander Usyk, and more. Now let's get into the December 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Starting off the show with some AFCON news, Mike Mbonye spoke with a former Nigerian footballer, Philip Shebu. He says it will be a risky thing to underrate any team in the 2023 African Cup of Nations football tournament. He expects Nigeria and host country Ivory Coast to make it out of Group A, but says anything can happen. Let's take a listen.
For me, we are, apart from Cote d'Ivoire, I think Guinea-Bissau has been doing quite well also in the African continent. Guinea-Bissau, Equatorial Guinea, and Nigeria. I think Nigeria should come first and Cote d'Ivoire come second. But we cannot underrate in Africa now as far as football is concerned. The countries that you feel they are not strong can pull surprises. But with the present form of Super Eagles and even just having one of us being crowned as the player of the year, I'm seeing us coming out well, smoking in that group. And I think Cote d'Ivoire and Nigeria to come out from that group.
The Super Eagles' outings in recent times, especially the 2026 World Cup qualifiers, have not been encouraging. What should be done to revamp the team before the AFCON tournament?
I think the problem with the Super Eagles has been we have had too many players that have been invited in different games, and so that cohesion is not actually there, and that is what I've seen. But also, we need to deal with the issue of goalkeeping. If we can deal with the issue of goalkeeping and assemble this team on time for them to blend, Nigeria is a potential winner of the next Nations Cup.
As a former footballer, do you think newly crowned African Footballer of the Year, Victor Osimhen, can repeat his scoring form at the AFCON tournament? We should recall that Osimhen is the leading scorer in the AFCON qualifiers with 10 goals to his credit. Do you really think Osimhen can repeat the scoring form at the AFCON tournament in Cote d'Ivoire?
Osimhen is a young player and is somebody that is consistent. I see him winning more laurels for himself. I congratulate him for being the African Player of the Year. And just after he received that trophy, the last match he played, you can see how excellent he was. He didn't only score the first goal. The second goal was my best because of the his skills that he displayed to get his club to score that second goal. It takes the heart of a young lad like him to be able to maneuver his way through using skills and all effort dedicated to get that second goal. That second goal for me is one of the best goals that Osimhen has scored. He assisted, but for me, he scored that goal because he worked everything about that goal. So Osimhen will do very well.
That was Philip Shebu, Deputy Governor of Nigeria's Edo State and ex-footballer. He spoke with reporter Mike Mbonye on the phone from Benin City, Nigeria. Staying with football in 2023, English midfielder Jude Bellingham completed his move to Real Madrid. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten looks back on the summer signing and Bellingham's meteoric rise with the Spanish Giants in the current campaign. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Mukbil. In June 2023, Jude Bellingham struck a pose wearing his new jersey for Real Madrid after it was announced he had completed a move from Borussia Dortmund to the La Liga club. Bellingham joined Real Madrid on a six-year deal reportedly worth over $111 million. And the English midfielder told reporters he's proud to join what he called the greatest club in the history of the sport.
Hola a todos and hola Madridistas. I just want to say thank you everyone in the room and everyone watching online for joining me for the proudest day of my life, the day where I joined the greatest football club in the history of the game. So yeah, thank you very much. There's a lot of people to thank for getting me here to this point, Borussia Dortmund, Birmingham City, the people that work there, but also the bosses here, Mr. President, Yuni Califat, Jose Angel, and of course, most importantly, my family for all the support and making the deal as easy as possible. So thank you very much. And finally, Ala Madrid.
In their official announcement, Real Madrid said of Bellingham, quote, "Our club has signed one of the greatest talents in the world, a midfielder who comes from Borussia Dortmund and arrives at Madrid after being voted the best player in the Bundesliga." And Real Madrid president Florentino Perez also welcomed Bellingham to the club.
Bienvenido al Real Madrid. Quiero transmitirte nuestro agradecimiento.
Speaking directly to Bellingham, Perez said, "Welcome to Real Madrid. I want to convey our gratitude to you because you have done everything possible to fulfill your great dream. Thank you for being a Madridista and for having the ambition to continue building your own history in this club, which is the most loved and admired, but also the most demanding in the world." In 2020, Bellingham became the sport's most expensive 17-year-old when he signed with Borussia Dortmund for $31 million. And during his 3 seasons in Germany, he evolved into one of the finest talents in the sport, turning in exceptional performances as a starter in both the Bundesliga and on England's national team. And just days before his 20th birthday, Bellingham said he'd made a dream move. Prior to signing with Real Madrid, Bellingham was linked to clubs in the Premier League, primarily Liverpool, that wanted to bring him to England. Liverpool stopped its pursuit of the English international due to the cost of signing him. However, Bellingham revealed it was Liverpool's loss to Real Madrid in the 2022 Champions League final that ultimately played a part in his decision. And he insists money was not a factor.
Money's not a thing for me. I don't think about money at all when I make these kind of decisions. I've never have. I never will. I play the game purely out of love. I spoke with the people when I was given permission by Borussia Dortmund. I spoke with Uni. I spoke with Jose Angel. And I love the feeling I got from the club. I couldn't hide it. I told them more or less straight away what I felt about the club. And after I made my decision, I wanted it to all happen quickly. You know, it wasn't a case of the other teams are bad or they weren't good. It's just that, for me, Madrid is the greatest.
And Bellingham singled out the support of his father, a former player who is now his agent, and brokered the deal between Borussia Dortmund and Real Madrid.
Bit of a surprise when my dad sat me down and said, you know, you've had a bit of interest from Real Madrid, I think maybe 12, 15 months ago, maybe. So, yeah, when he said that, my goosebumps, really. My heart was close to stopping because it's just something you don't expect growing up to be able to play for a team like this. So when it actually manifests itself, it's just such an amazing feeling.
Bellingham traded in his long-worn number 22 for the number 5 in a nod to Real Madrid legend Zinedine Zidane. And sporting that iconic number, the 20-year-old midfielder has made his mark in his debut season as the top scorer in La Liga. He's netted 13 league goals in 15 matches so far, the same exact goals Cristiano Ronaldo tallied in his first 15 La Liga matches. And as the winner of this year's prestigious European Golden Boy Award, Bellingham has not only firmly established himself as one of the best midfielders in the world, but also as one of the best signings of 2023. And that is all from me, Mukbil. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. The Industrial Relations Court in Malawi has issued a groundbreaking ruling. It compels the Football Association of Malawi to match the salary of the former coach of the Malawi national football team, Mek Mwasi, with that of foreign coaches. Mwasi last year filed a legal action against the Malawi Football Association over what he alleged was a wrongful termination. Lamek Messina reports from Blantyre, Malawi. Sporty greetings, Lamek.
Sporty greetings to you too, Mukbil. the Football Association of Malawi, OFAM, dismissed Meke Mwase as a coach for the Malawi national team, the Flames, in April last year, with 1 year remaining on his contract. The Football Association then replaced him with a Romanian coach, Mario Marinica, who was initially hired as a technical director for the Flames. Mwase rejected the firm's offer to redeploy him as a coach for the under-20 national football team and instead initiated legal proceedings against the football governing body. Lawyer David Kanyenda represented Mwase in the case in which he sued the firm for wrongful termination, redeployment, and constructive dismissal.
Mr. Mwase's salary was just about $1,000. And then Mr. Marinika was receiving $8,000. But that's not all. When you look at other fringe benefits, for example, leave grant, Mr. Marinika was earning $4,000 per annum. And Mr. Mwase wasn't even earning $200 as leave grant.
Kanyenda told Sunny Side of Sports that expatriate coaches were also given a retained economy air ticket a year to any destination around the world. They also had use of a car. Mwase did not get all those benefits. In her ruling handed down earlier this week, chairperson for the Industrial Relations Court said the case highlighted the discriminatory nature of Mwase's pay. The ruling said he was placed on an inferior wage scale compared to expatriate coaches performing the same role as national football team coaches. The court ordered the Football Association of Malawi to match Mwase's salary with that of foreign coaches. His lawyer, Kanyenda, said he's working on a court order to submit an assessment for the compensation covering the entire 36 months of Mwase's contract. He said Mwase will receive slightly over $450,000 in compensation. Sunny Side of Sports could not speak to firm's General Secretary Alfred Gunda Tuesday on the matter because his phone could not be reached. He, however, told a local newspaper that firm's officials had yet to meet on the matter to map the way forward. Aubrey Nangun is the chairperson for the National Coaches Association of Malawi. He says the ruling would serve as a lesson for clubs and the national teams to treat coaches fairly when they are signing contracts and to stop favoring expatriate coaches in terms of remuneration.
Because there is now a reference whereby Mr. Meke Mwase will be the reference with his case. So when even clubs, when they will be employing coaches, they will also considering to that if we don't do this, maybe these local coaches will take us to court. So they will pay heavily as it has been done to Mr. Meke Mwase.
George Kawutsama Sinam is chairperson for the Silver Strikers Football Club, one of the clubs in Malawi with an expatriate coach. He told Sunny Side of Sports that the judgment on Mwase's case is a mockery of the situation on the ground.
It's a dangerous judgment in my own thinking, because all the coaches who have been coming to Malawi as expatriates, their salaries have always been different with the locals. So it's a judgment which can easily be challenged, and the firm can come out clean in this case.
Kawuza Masina says it's wishful thinking that local coaches would receive salaries similar to that of expatriates, because Mwase never complained about his salary when he was signing a contract and employed as a national coach.
The only compensation which I agree with is the constructive dismissal when he was deployed from national team to under 20. Because he was employed as a senior team coach, that was a different thing. So it has to come with a different terms and different packages. But not that it has to be paid the same as an expert. It doesn't work like that.
But lawyer Kanyenda said the emphasis of the court judgment is based on curbing discrimination in any form.
Even the employment-related legislation, the Employment Act, also prohibits discrimination. So I don't think at this point anyone can complain about the practicalities. The Constitution sets a standard of equal pay for equal work. It doesn't matter what your skin color is, or what your gender is, or what your religion is.
some sports analysts think the ruling could encourage other coaches to go to court over similar issues. Peter Kanjere is the former sports editor for the Daily Times in Malawi. He noted a similar case involving former Flames coach Kinapiri.
Even at the clubs, coaches are just fired anyhow without any procedure. Some work without a contract. But, you know, what has happened to Mwase is not something that has not happened before. It was the same thing with Kinapiri after they taken the team to 2010 AFCON. Immediately, he was dismissed in a manner that lacked any respect for a coach who had relatively done well.
Before Marinika assumed leadership, Mwase guided the Flames to the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations Group of 16 round in Cameroon. At this time, Mwase is employed as a coach for a football club in Eswatini. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Lamek Masina in Blantyre, Malawi.
Thanks, Lamek. Making our way into the boxing ring, I spoke with my VOA colleague Sunday Shomari about his thoughts on the WBC champion Tyson Fury's last exhibition fight against MMA heavyweight Francis Ngannou. We also discussed Fury's upcoming fight with heavyweight champion Usyk and a potential fight between Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder. Let's have a listen.
We are going to be talking about everything boxing related today, you know, as you are an expert in that field. So talk to me. Firstly, let's go and talk about the heavyweight champion Tyson Fury. Recently had an exhibition fight with MMA megastar Francis Ngannou from Cameroon. And what were your thoughts on that fight, Sunday?
I tell you, Mukbil, my thoughts on the fight, I'll tell you, I'm not an expert, as you said, but I love boxing. But what I think, I was thinking this is a walk in the park for Tyson Fury, given his strength, his power, his magic, his dancing like Muhammad Ali in the boxing ring. I thought it would be a walk in the park. But guess what? I was very shocked to see him being knocked down as nobody else thought it would happen. Francis Ngannou is a real monster coming in from MMA, not even a boxer. He did what so many couldn't believe he could do, and I was one of those people.
Absolutely. I think I was also under the impression that, hey, it looked nice for TV. You know, we were going to watch it. It was going to be exciting. But really, I didn't think that there was any value in his fighting style. But come to find out, we've realized that, you know, Francis Ngannou might really have a future in heavyweight boxing. If he, you know, mm-hmm. he also was being trained by the great Iron,
yes,
Mike Tyson, right?
Yes, absolutely. He was with the best of the best. And I didn't know he used so much time to shape himself up for this fight. You know, and having all this experience, he has a great experience too. A record of 17 wins, only 3 losses, no draws.
Yeah.
He was a great fighter in MMA.
Now, sticking with Tyson Fury, he will be fighting Oleksandr Usyk. It is a highly, highly anticipated heavyweight fight that will be taking place in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Fury at the moment is the WBC title holder, and Usyk has the WBA, WBO, and the IBF championship belt, and I believe all of them are on the table. Talk to me about what you think will happen in that fight against Tyson Fury and Usyk.
I tell you, brother, I don't know what to expect no more. I mean, since I saw that fight with Ngannou, I said, wait a minute, Tyson Fury has some work to do. And guess what? Oleksandr Usyk is a great fighter and he's not that heavy. So he can move around and he can also control. And he has the ability to take some punches. So I'm wondering if Gypsy King is as strong as he is. Yes, he can bamboozle some people. But if he faces somebody who is sleek and strong and can handle big fights like Usyk, it's going to be an interesting fight. First of all, I didn't expect Joshua to have a hard time against Usyk. And it happened to him twice.
Right.
So it tells you what kind of a fighter Usyk is. So I don't know what to expect anymore. I think the Gypsy King has some work to do to get this fight under his belt.
I like that you brought up Anthony Joshua versus Usyk. You know, he lost to Alexander Usyk twice. You know, to be honest with you, though, Sunday, me personally, I didn't buy into Anthony Joshua simply because if you even look at him from a stylistic standpoint, he's had the luxury of, you know, kind of picking and choosing who they put in front of him. So he's not really that technically sound. He is a big body, about 6'6", 250 plus, very strong young man with power behind him. He can box, but anytime he gets in there with a boxer with more technical skill, he gets rattled. If you remember, Andy Ruiz was the replacement. Ruiz took that fight in under a month. No training camp and ended up beating him the first time. Right. Why? Because I think, you know, Ruiz is very technically sound. He's not really that athletic. If you look at his build, he's not that athletic, but he has really good hands. So
absolutely, very quick hands.
Yeah, so I think the difference between Tyson Fury and Usyk is going to be the Gypsy King really knows how to use all his advantages. The problem with Fury fighting Ngannou was that you're fighting a guy who's throwing unexpected punches because this is an MMA guy. He's not that technical. You're not used to seeing the type of fighting style that he's giving you, so it kind of maybe can confuse you. But when you fight in a boxer, what I expect him to be doing is, you know, Tyson Fury is a big boy, 6'9", almost 300 pounds. You know, Usyk is only 6'2". So what he's going to do is he's going to wrap him up a lot, put his weight on him, and it's going to be a long night for Usyk. But if we do know that Anthony Joshua is going to be also fighting same night in Saudi Arabia, and so will Deontay Wilder. Can you talk to us about some of those fights and what we're expecting from both those former champions?
I tell you, former champion Joshua, Anthony Joshua, Wilder, they have a big fight coming up. But as you said, it depends what they do prior to that big fight. They have their own fights to deal with. And I was looking at several interviews whereby Wilder was interviewed about Anthony Joshua. But he told people, listen, I have a fight in front of me right now, Joseph Parker. I'm worried about this fight first rather than talking about Anthony Joshua. But of course, he mentioned that he can win against Joshua. He doesn't have a problem with Joshua. Mm-hmm. And he knows, and he was also actually saying that Joshua was kind of delaying or ducking him in some way or the other because he's been ready to fight him for so long and he really wanted that fight. But the Bronze Bomber has to face Joseph Parker, who has 33 wins under his belt, who was only knocked out by who? Anthony Joshua.
Right.
But he went 12 rounds in that fight. So he lost by decision. So you can imagine Joseph Parker is not an easy boxer either. And he was at one point a champion. So he says there's a big fight in front of him. And this is going to be a great fight. So I'm thinking of, let's see what the Bronze Bomber can do. You know that one big punch can put you to sleep.
heavy. arguably the strongest right hand we've seen in a long time.
In a long time, brother. In a long time.
Yeah.
That punch has taken everybody down. Who didn't go down with that punch?
Every single opponent that he has fought has gone down. It's just Fury who questionably had a really long, if we really break down that knockdown, that was the longest 10 count that I've ever seen in my life. So one could argue that if it was counted the normal way we see a 10 count, that Deontay Wilder have knocked down, the Bronze Bomber would have knocked out every single opponent in front of his face. That's an unbelievable number.
Unbelievable number, man. We always remember that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So with that being said, as you mentioned, you know, both of them have fights coming up that they have to finish off. They have to win and beat their opponents in a respectable fashion as well, right? Because sometimes You know, we don't want to see a split decision, or we don't want to see, you know, it getting too close, because then that super fight of Anthony Joshua versus Deontay Wilder, the Bronze Bomber, is not going to have that level of appeal that mm-hmm. the fans would like. So look to see both of them, you know, finish off their wins, get some wins in some good fashion. But I'll be excited to see that fight. If you were to choose between the Bronze Bomber and Anthony Joshua, who do you like in that fight stylistically?
Well, for me, I would say I enjoy more of the jabs that Anthony Joshua gives him when he's fighting, and then his uppercut that usually finishes a lot of his fights. And on the other hand, with Wilder, I like his aggression when he comes in and finishes with that big right, the Bronze Bomber. But if you put those two together, I like to see more of Joshua. However, I don't know if Joshua is going to make against Whalen. You know, Otto Whalen is facing Joshua.
Yes, yes.
And Otto Whalen didn't do very well in his last fight. But people are saying, whoever watching him, that he's not an easy fighter either. So Joshua has some work to do for himself too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Bob, you know Bob Arum?
Yes, sir.
Bob Arum said he's giving the fight to Otto Whalen. He says, absolutely, Otto Whalen is going to win the fight. Wow. He says he's going to shock everybody.
That's going to change the dynamic of everything.
I know.
Goodness gracious. Wow. Okay. Lastly, Sunday, before we get up out of here, Terrence Crawford has been linked with conversations about potential prime fights if him and Floyd Mayweather were in their prime. Who would you take in that dream fight, Terrence Crawford versus prime Floyd Mayweather? And then I'll have my humble opinion after the fact.
I tell you, Terrence Crawford, one of the best pound-for-pound fighters I've ever seen. And I think some people have underrated this young man. He's a switch hitter. They call him a switch hitter. Because when he comes to change his stance, he can change from southpaw to orthodox within a fight. Who does that, my friend?
Unbelievable.
And he can also deliver some powerful hits. So I think this guy has proved that he's the best pound for pound fighter of all time, and also undefeated. His record is 40-0. Right. Mayweather is 50-0, but this guy is very humble. When they're asking about Mayweather's record, he said, you know what? I give that to him. It deserves a 50-0. I'm not trying to get that one. Let him enjoy his record. I'm going to be a 40-0 for right now.
Right.
I like this boy. I like the way he fights. I like his strength. And you saw what he did in his last fight. Oh, nobody expected that win in that particular fashion.
Absolutely.
So I think Mayweather is very slick, great fighter,
yeah,
very good skills. And if they were to meet in during Mayweather's prime, that would have been a great fight. Because
right.
I know what Mayweather would have done would be ducking and running and running. You know how he does.
Yeah,
when
that's that defense. That's defense of the pretty boy Floyd. He doesn't get hit.
No, he doesn't get hit. He'll be jumping all over the ring. And that can make some people tired. And when they wear you down, then he comes in and fight you.
Right.
Or whatever happens, happens. But I think that would be the strategy for Mayweather during facing such a hitter like him.
Yeah.
But it would also be not easy, because this guy is really good. You change stance, he can change stance and go with you. So I would give to Crawford, but still it would have been a tough fight or a split fight. Who knows?
Thanks, Sunday Shomari. And that is a wrap for the December 21st edition of the show. Hope you all had a great day. I'm Mukbil Yabaro in Washington, in for Sonny Young. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.